Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a subject that's, well, pretty huge, especially here in the UK football.
Absolutely. Can't avoid it.
Exactly. But we're not just chatting about last night's match or, you know, transfer rumors. We're digging into it using a really specific set of data from an analysis done back in 2017.
That's right. And this wasn't your typical sports analysis you might see floating around. It was actually a project by two consultants, Philip Cavell and Kenny Cheng. PC and Casey.
Okay.
They were doing this for some contacts they had in the broadcast industry, and the specific task was to look at the market viability for a potential new UK-based grassroots football channel.
Grassroots, interesting. Not just the Premier League giants, then.
Precisely. And what makes it extra interesting, I think, is how they did it. They used methods they'd already developed for something completely different, evaluating a proposal for an aviation news channel, AVTN Newsnet 24/7.
Aviation. Okay, that's unexpected. Sets up a fascinating angle right away. So for this deep dive, our mission is basically to unpack this huge database PC and KC put together.
Yeah, exactly. We want to pull out the key stuff they found about the UK football market as it looked specifically in 2017 and figure out what this kind of data-heavy approach really tells us.
Got it. And the scope sounds pretty ambitious.
Oh, it was. For 2017, definitely, the database they built had like over 700 football-related keywords they tracked.
700. Wow.
And data on 550 different teams. And like you said, not just the Man Uniteds or Chelseas of the world, they really drilled down into UK grassroots clubs too.
So covering England, Scotland, Wales.
Yep. All the way from the Premier League down through the EFL tiers, the Scottish leagues, the National League, and even further down. Plus, they were analyzing things like internet search results for all these keywords, club rankings, both global and UK specific, and crucially, all the social media stuff.
Which platforms were key back then?
They tracked Instagram, Pinterest, Snapchat, Twitter, Weibo, which is interesting, YouTube, and of course, Facebook. Followers, likes, post frequency, the whole nine yards.
Okay, so a really wide net trying to capture the digital pulse of football at that particular moment, about 7 years ago now.
That's the idea. A broad snapshot of the digital footprint.
So let's start with the sheer volume of data. You mentioned keywords, teams, social metrics across multiple platforms. It must have been a mountain of information.
It absolutely was. Just try to picture it. Collating Google search volumes for 700 plus terms, keeping tabs on rankings for over 550 clubs, and then digging into the social media numbers, followers, likes, post rates across, what, 7 major platforms for each club?
Yeah, that's a lot.
It was designed to give this really granular view, you know? Where was the actual digital buzz happening in the market in 2017?
Almost like a digital census of football for that year. Mm-hmm. So what did this treasure trove actually show about the clubs and the leagues, particularly within the UK?
Well, first off, it did give some global context using ranking data based on search interests they'd compiled. Just to give you a feel, in their 2017 analysis, Germany ranked 9th globally for search interest. Italy was 8th.
And England, given the Premier League's global reach.
Interestingly, England came in at 13th in this specific data set's global ranking for search interests.
Ah, 13th. That's lower than you might instinctively guess.
It is. And it just underlines how different ways of slicing the data can give you different perspectives. But yeah, the main focus for the club analysis was definitely the UK football pyramid.
Covering the different nations.
Yeah. England, Scotland, and Wales. They had data for clubs in the Premier League, the EFL Championship, League One, League Two, then the Scottish Premiership Championship, League One, League Two, the National League in England, and like we said, stretching down into those grassroots levels. Too.
And I bet the data painted a pretty stark picture of the gap between the big fish and the little fish.
Oh, incredibly stark. You really see it in the digital reach numbers. It laid bare the massive difference between those globally recognized big clubs and the, you know, local small clubs.
Can you give us an example from the 2017 data?
Sure. Let's look at social media. A top Premier League team like Manchester United back in 2017 had something like 72.8 million Facebook likes.
72 million. That's enormous. Like the population of a decent-sized country following one club on Facebook.
It really is. It just shows that immense global brand power at the very top. Even 7 years ago, Chelsea, another example, had nearly 600,000 YouTube subscribers, then 591K to be precise.
Still huge numbers. And how does that compare to the lower leagues or grassroots? grassroots clubs they track.
Well, that's where the contrast is just massive. Take a club like AFC Dunstable, playing non-league football. In 2017, their Twitter followers were around 4,100.
4,000 versus millions. Okay.
Or Holywell Town FC, a Welsh grassroots club they included. They had about 4,600 Twitter followers.
Wow. So we're talking orders of magnitude difference. It's not just a gap. It's a chasm in terms of digital footprint and direct online audience.
Precisely. The data didn't just confirm what we kind of intuitively know about finances or stadium size. It showed an equally, maybe even more, dramatic hierarchy in their digital presence back then. It really hammered home how incredibly top-heavy the digital engagement was.
That really puts the whole big club thing into concrete numbers.
Yeah.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit. What about what people were actually searching for? You mentioned that huge list of keywords. What did that tell us about fan interest in 2017?
Yeah, the keyword analysis is fascinating. It's like a window into what was on people's minds, or at least what they were typing into Google. Over 700 keywords, each with its own search volume tracked. And it wasn't just, you know, generic stuff like football scores.
Right, you said the variety was pretty striking.
It really showed diverse interests. You had the massive volume searches, sure, like football music or football videos. Both of those were hitting over 200 million searches globally in the data.
200 million. So interest clearly went way beyond just the 90 minutes on the pitch, culture, content.
Definitely. But then it got really specific. Football boots had over 8 million searches. 8.07 million, actually. That points to a big interest in merchandise gear.
Makes sense.
Then you had things like football tactics board or football attendances. That was over 440,000 searches, showing interest in the strategic side and the physical experience, crowd sizes, even things like football banning orders, with 170,000 searches, suggesting people were looking into issues around safety and fan behavior.
And I think you mentioned even technical skills showing up strongly in the search data.
Absolutely. Terms like football pass, chip, apparently had over 7 million searches, 7.23 million. Football dribbling had over 5,572,000.
So that's not just casual fans clicking highlights. That suggests people actively trying to understand or even learn the skills, the tactics.
Exactly. Could be players, coaches, or just really engaged fans wanting to understand the game mechanics better. It paints this picture of a really multifaceted fan base, interested in everything from the gear they wear to the stats to the social issues and the actual techniques on the field.
That variety is a key point. And the football market isn't just one thing. And speaking of variations, the keyword data also touched on that classic linguistic debate.
Yes. The old football versus soccer chestnut. The data gave a direct comparison of the global search volumes for those two specific terms in 2017.
And what was the verdict, according to Google searches back then?
Globally, in this data set, the search term football clocked in at 1.38 billion search results.
1.38 billion.
Okay.
And soccer?
Soccer came in at 809 million search results.
Right. So a pretty significant difference. Based purely on that 2017 global search volume data, football was the dominant term used online by quite a margin.
Yeah, a considerable margin. It sort of quantified that preference in online search language worldwide, at least as captured by Google at that time.
Okay, so let's pull this together. We've got this picture of a massive digital hierarchy among clubs, from the global powerhouses down to the tiny local teams. And we have this incredibly diverse range of interests shown by what people were searching for. If you combine all that, the club data, the social media frenzy at the top, the keyword searches, what kind of snapshot does it give us of spectator interest in UK football back in 2017?
Well, it confirms, unsurprisingly perhaps, a market with absolutely enormous levels of engagement. But that engagement, particularly the measurable digital engagement like social following, was overwhelmingly concentrated at the very, very top. The big leagues, the superstar clubs.
And the search volumes reflected that broad interest.
Totally. The sheer volume of searches for specific teams, leagues, results, highlights, news, tickets, even those niche terms we talked about, it just shows fans were incredibly active online, constantly seeking information, wanting to connect with the game in myriad ways.
And the social media numbers really back that up, showing where the eyeballs were.
Completely. You look at where the big numbers were in 2017, the millions of followers, the massive likes, it was almost exclusively tied to those major clubs. Facebook and Twitter seemed particularly key platforms for that kind of mass audience engagement then. YouTube, too, obviously, for video content. It just highlighted that while general interest might be broad, the digital reach and the scale of that engagement was massively skewed towards the elite tiers.
So a very top-heavy digital landscape in 2017, according to this data. Now, we hinted at this earlier, but this whole massive, detailed football study, it actually had another purpose, didn't it? This is where it gets really interesting.
Yes, this is the crucial bit of context, I think. This deep dive into UK football wasn't just academic research or even just for that potential grassroots channel. It was deliberately used by PC and KC as a comparative market indicator, a yardstick, if you like.
A yardstick for what?
For gauging the potential scale of that other project they'd worked on the aviation sector, and specifically that proposed AVTN Newsnet 24/7 channel.
Right. So they mapped out football's digital presence, which is obviously huge and well-documented, to try and get a handle on the potential size of the aviation market online.
Exactly. They needed a benchmark, something solid to compare against. And the really key finding from doing that comparison, which is pretty eye-opening, was this. When they looked at it on a like-for-like basis, using global search volume as a proxy for overall market interest or scale, the aviation market actually beat the football market in 2017.
Wait, really? Aviation bigger than football? That feels counterintuitive. Especially in the UK, football seems to dominate everything. Media, conversation.
I know, it sounds surprising, doesn't it? But the numbers in this specific comparison were clear. They compared the global Google search results volume for the term travel against the term football.
Okay, what were the numbers?
In 2017, the global search volume for travel was 3.35 billion results.
2.35 billion. Okay. Yeah. And we said football was?
Football globally in the same data set was 1.38 billion.
Wow. 3.35 billion for travel versus 1.38 billion for football. That's more than double the search volume for travel.
Significantly more, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can see how, for the team, considering that aviation channel, this would be a critical piece of information. It suggested that while the traditional football TV rights market is massive and well-established,
which is what people usually think of as its value.
Right. But this search data implied that the underlying global public interest connected to travel and aviation, when you measure it through this specific digital lens of search volume, was actually considerably larger back in 2017.
So using football, this cultural behemoth, as the benchmark actually revealed the potentially even larger, maybe less appreciated scale of global interest in travel and aviation, at least in terms of raw search interest.
It did. It provided a fundamentally different perspective on the potential audience size for something related to aviation or travel compared to relying solely on traditional media market valuations.
It showed that even though football is huge and culturally dominant in many places, there are other massive global areas of interest that, by certain digital metrics anyway, commanded an even bigger slice of online attention in 2017.
Spot on.
Okay, so let's try and summarize the key takeaways from this whole deep dive into the 2017 football data, viewed through this slightly unusual lens of the aviation comparison.
Well, I think first, this project by PC and KC gave their broadcast contacts a really detailed, data-rich snapshot of the UK digital football scene in 2017. It clearly showed the hierarchy, the massive concentration of digital engagement at the very top.
But it also showed the breadth of interest, right? Through those keyword searches, it wasn't just about watching the big games.
Exactly. The keywords revealed this really diverse range of fan interests, gear, stats, tactics, social issues. The lot.
And then, maybe the most intriguing takeaway is how understanding football's market in such detail served as this vital comparison point.
Yeah, that comparative insight is fascinating. Using football as a benchmark illuminated the surprising potential scale of the aviation and travel market, judged purely by 2017's search volume.
It really underscores how data analysis, especially using consistent metrics across different fields, can throw up some genuine surprises about market size and scale.
Definitely. It shows how the way you measure something can totally change your perspective on its relative importance or potential compared to something else. You know, comparing apples and oranges sometimes tells you more about the oranges than you expected.
It makes you question how we perceive scale, doesn't it? We often go by cultural visibility or media noise, but the raw data, like search interest back then, can paint a completely different picture.
It's a great reminder that the metrics you choose really do define the market that you end up seeing.
So, perhaps a final thought for you to chew on. Next time you're thinking about the scale of any market or how much interest there really is in something, remember this specific data point from 2017. The world typed travel into Google more than twice as often as it typed football. Makes you think, doesn't it?